Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me on this January 11th, 2012. Here we are talking about food. And my mission, my wish for 2012 and for the future is to rethink the way we feel about food. We really need to rethink the way we think about food. We need to rethink what we eat when it comes to food, because it's all about food. And many of us could use some help. And that's what we're doing here on It's All About Food. We're talking with lots of people who are doing great things for the planet, for health, for animals. Let's not lose any focus here. I want to offer up some really happy, delicious, joyful stuff, but keep in the back of your mind somewhere that food choices affect all life on Earth, either positively or negatively. We've got all this industrial agriculture going on, and I love progress and I love technology, but sometimes things get a little out of hand, and food production is definitely out of hand today. And that's true when it comes to the factory farming of animals. Bad news. Horrific, cruel, environmentally damaging, supplying up so much low cost, and I put low cost in quotes when I say that, animal products for food consumption. People are eating a lot more today, and what's happening? Our health is in the toilet. And in addition to factory farmed animals, industrial agriculture also includes the production of plant foods. Now, I love plant foods, but I don't need pesticides and herbicides and practices that are not sustainable for the planet when I get my yummy plant foods. I want organic, primarily locally grown. Okay, so that's what it's all about here on It's All About Food. It's about improving your personal life, your health, the health of the planet. And there's many, many people today doing a lot of work to change the way we feel about food, to change the way we think about food, and make it all yummy and good and joyful. There's a number of great women that are doing that today, and I want to talk to a few of them right now. So we have Betsy Carson. She's a filmmaker with a passion for sharing the benefits of a plant-based diet and is fueled by a lack of vegan programming options. And she's produced 52 episodes since 2005 of the popular public television program Totally Vegetarian. And she's creating this Project Vegan Mashup, and that's what we're going to be talking about, along with the chefs that are going to be part of this project. And right now we're going to talk with, in addition to Betsy, Tony Fiore, who's the host of Delicious TV's Totally Vegetarian. She's got podcasts and cookbooks and all kinds of wonderful things we're going to hear about. And Miyoko Shinner, who's published cookbooks as well. She's had a restaurant. Okay, so let's bring you all on to It's All About Food. Let's hear from Betsy.
Hi, Karen. It's great to meet you.
Oh, God. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I've seen you all over the Internet.
Oh, thank you.
And it's nice to talk to you today.
We're fine.
And Tony, you're there, too?
Yes, I am. Hi, Karen.
Okay. Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. And Miyoko, are you with us also?
I'm with you, Karen. Hi.
Oh, hi. Okay, this is going to be fun. What are we making today on It's All About Food?
We're cooking up some good dishes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. It's just too exciting to think about. So, Betsy, tell us a little bit about Vegan Mashup.
Vegan Mashup is, I've been thinking about doing this show for a year with ideally all these women should have their own show, but
we don't have
enough funds to do that. So we're putting them all on, we're mashing them up into one show, which is going to be really fun because it's going to have, three recipes from three different chefs. Plus we're going to have a special guest chef on as well. So there'll be four different cooks on each episode cooking in their own kitchens. And we're going to be doing things like holiday classics, cheap eats, cooking with teens, cooking for teens, party vegan food. We're going to have a bunch of different types of things to talk about and recipes to work with.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yes.
We've all been talking about it for such a long time. The time has come, and not only on the Internet, but on television and everywhere. My wish for the future is that we don't have to say vegan cookbooks anymore. We just can say cookbooks because everything's going to be vegan. I don't know if I'll live to see that, but I put it out there. And when it comes to food shows, come on, we're ready. We're ready for the Food Network. We're ready. And there are... Okay, we're going to be talking to a few of you here, but there are so many chefs out there that are doing wonderful things, and it's infinite in terms of the shows that we can have with vegan cooking.
Yes, yes.
We want
to get all those chefs on Vegan Mashup. We want a bunch of special guests, so we're just going to keep doing this show. This is just the first of many seasons, hopefully.
Okay, now where can people find this, and when is it going to premiere?
It's going to premiere probably in September, possibly this summer. It depends on how quickly we can complete our funding. We have a project, an Indiegogo project, so we're trying to raise funds on there. And we're also looking for public television sponsors for, you know, nonprofits and businesses who might want to be associated with our show. So we've already actually, Friends of Animals is going to be a public television sponsor, and Maine Animal Coalition is going to be a public television sponsor.
Right.
And we have a couple of other people we're talking to as well.
And what would you like to see happen with this project?
I'd just like to see it on every public television station in the U.S. And I think people don't have options. Certainly they don't have vegan options. When you look at cooking shows, there's very few vegan options. So we need to create more options, more vegan options in our food, in our cooking, in our on TV, on radio, so we're all doing our part to make that happen.
Okay.
We need to make the concept of vegan food more accessible so people understand how easy it is to prepare, how inexpensive it is, and how healthy it is, and delicious.
Right. Now, Tony, you've been doing this a long time, doing food shows, and does it ever get, like, are you continually inspired? Is the message ever tiring?
No, it's not tiring. And actually, the longer I've been doing it and the more people I've been meeting, the more inspired I get to try different things. It's a continuous learning process to me. So when you look at the first season that we've done and how far we've come now, even to our most recent podcast, a lot of the change. I've learned a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed a lot, even my own concept of vegan food and vegan cooking. So. No, I don't get tired of it at all, and I really, really enjoy working with all the foodies that I've met, and I'm really excited to be working with Miyoko and Terry. I think it's just going to be it's a very exciting prospect for me.
Yeah, my food preparation experience has changed a great deal over the decades as well. We're all, like, learning together somehow as we learn more about nutrition, as more food products become available. For me... and I'm not sure where your growth has been, you, Tony, Betsy, or Miyoko, but for me, most recently, I've been trying to get more flavors out of whole foods without using salt and sugar and oil. I'm trying to clean up my act, but at the same time make things really tasty.
I understand what you're coming from. I teach for Dr. John McDougall in his program. And so I have to work within those parameters frequently. I don't, I cook without a lot of oil or no oil for Dr. McDougall, low sodium, and try to get the flavors out with other ingredients. But I think what we're trying to do with this show is we're going to have three different personalities. So there's going to be something for everybody in the audience. Three different personalities, three different cooking styles. There will be something for you. There'll be something for someone else. That's what makes this show, I think, so vibrant and special.
Now, here's a question. A lot of people love watching food shows, love them. So many people tell me, God, I love the Food Network. I love watching food shows. And yet, how many of those people actually go into the kitchen and make food?
Almost none. I'd say almost none. And I think it's the same in the cookbook market. There are tons of people who buy cookbooks, and they're really coffee table books. They look at the pictures. They flip through them. They dream about what it is they'll try to make. And generally, I think there was a study done. The average person makes 2 recipes out of every cookbook.
Right, I read that. I want to get back to that, but before we do, I want to talk to Miyoko just a little bit because we're going to exchange Terry for Miyoko in a few minutes because we don't have as many lines. But Miyoko, I just wanted to thank you because you were really at the forefront with Now and Zen. I was living in the Bay Area in the 80s and 90s. I'll never forget that restaurant. And,
oh, well, thank you.
And it was really ahead of its time. And it was like an oasis when I found it and loved going there. And then I used to travel quite a bit as a consulting engineer, and I was going back and forth, and I always flew United. And what a delight.
Wow.
What a delight. It was like, yes, getting that Now and Zen cookie was just such a thrill and such a treat. I felt like I'm not alone in this world. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was, you know, it was the pre-internet,
and so
we were sort of ahead of the curve there. Hopefully, I think the time is right now, and more people are beginning to listen to the message. So I think the timing is perfect for the show.
Can you just tell me, because I don't remember, how that all came about, the restaurant, and how did you manage to do all of that pre-internet?
You know, it was crazy. I came out with my Now and Zen cookbook in the early 90s. I think it was 1990 when the book was published. And then, I wanted to open up a little bakery to show the world that people could eat this way without, you know, that vegan didn't have to be hippie food.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such an important mission for me. So I opened up this little bakery, which became a restaurant, and then a funny thing happened. We used to sell something called the Unturkey at Thanksgiving.
I remember.
That was part of our menu. And someone said, you should go down to this trade show, the Natural Foods Expo, and see how people react to it. So I took it down there. Didn't know what it was about, and in one weekend I wrote $50,000 worth of orders.
Whoa!
It was crazy, and I had no idea how to make the product. I had no facility to make it. I didn't know how to deliver it, and so I went back to the restaurant and I just started faxing these orders to one of the distributors, a big distributor, and they called me and said, "I don't know who you are, but stop faxing." And I just got on the phone. I convinced them to carry the product. And so we shipped I rented this commercial kitchen, a trade show was in September, and by, early November or late October, we had shipped $50,000 worth of Unturkeys. And so I sold the restaurant, we got into the Unturkey hip whip business, and, did that for a number of years. At one point we were the second leading turkey alternative next to tofurkey.
Mm.
So that was kind of exciting for a while. But anyway, I was a mom. I had 3 kids, and I couldn't do it all. So I had to kind of leave that behind for a while and took a hiatus for a few years.
Well, you really set a lot of ground for a lot of other people.
She's back.
And now she's back. Woo-hoo! Well,
yes, we're excited about it.
I can't wait.
It's a good company, too. Yeah. It's a great company with...
Yes.
Terry and Chelsea and Betsy.
Well, I want to thank you for all of that early work, and I can't wait to see what you're going to come up with in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Karen.
Okay, so Miyoko, I'm going to say goodbye to you and thank you for joining us on It's All About Food.
Goodbye, and thanks so much for having me on.
Okay.
Bye, Miyoko. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
And Terry Hope Romero is going to join us now. Terry, are you with us?
I am. Miyoko, just tag me in.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us again on It's All About Food. I spoke to you recently with your wonderful Pie in the Sky book.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, great. Okay, so have you started filming at all, or you're still just in the fundraising?
We started filming, but also we're in the fundraising. We shot the promo, but we're really now in fundraising mode.
Okay, I want to talk about getting into the kitchen. Now, I'm not sure all of you, if you have individual missions, what you'd like to see happen in the world, if you just want to do food shows and write cookbooks, or if you want to see people get back into the kitchen, because this is what I really want to see. I want to see people getting into the kitchen. I want to see people eating plant foods. So... I guess this is a great step forward, but with people watching and not going into the kitchen. Do you have any ideas on how to make that connection? Tony, you've been doing this a long time. Tony, let's talk to Tony, and then we'll talk to Terry.
Okay, so could you just repeat that again?
Yeah, it's this disconnect. People love watching food shows, and we need more and more and more gazillion vegan food shows, no question about it. But then we need people to actually go into the kitchen and make their food.
Right.
How do we do that?
Well, I think you have to take the mystery out of preparing food. There's an awful lot of recipes that when I talk to you, it's like, oh, I could never make that, or I don't know how to cook. So it's giving people, I think, the confidence and giving them, you know, easy, very accessible recipes, things that really just about anybody can do, and to improve their skills. I'm amazed at how few people cook their own food.
Yep.
And a lot of it is just, there's a lot of fear in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when you're comfortable in the kitchen, it's a bizarre thing. It's hard to understand. So I definitely want to see people going back in, because I think the only way to really take control of your health is to take control of your food, and you have to prepare your own food.
Well, you know, whether you're preparing it regularly or not, people need to know what's in their food. And one of the ways to do that is to make it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Terry, I wanted to ask you, do you have thoughts about cooking in a limited space, like students who don't have a lot of room or people that have very small apartments?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, pretty much my entire life in New York City, I've been living here since 95, has been not optimal kitchens.
That's why I'm asking you. I knew you'd know.
Right. I'm here for you. I mean, like, yeah, these awful ovens that come with rental apartments. I mean, you know, it's really something like you have to take it one step at a time and kind of, you know, look for tools that you can multitask with. Like right now I'm tackling, this issue about how to steam sticky rice. And there's all these beautiful Thai rice steaming devices with these gorgeous big baskets and these crazy spittoon-shaped pots. And I'm like, I can't fit that in my kitchen. So I've been multitasking with like a metal sieve and fitting it on top of a pot that I already use for about 80 different things. So I think it's feeling that you can pretty much feel like you're your own MacGyver in a kitchen and multitask tools and avoid like really big, crazy, like, you know, implements that you don't need, like standing mixers. I mean, I don't have one. I haven't had one in, like, I don't know, like 20 years or so. And life goes on, and I've made a billion cupcakes and, you know, all kinds of things. So yeah, it's realizing that you don't need a lot to really make really great food.
Okay, that's good. Now, the other thing is, what are the essential foods to have in the cupboard and in the refrigerator when you have limited space?
I know, right? Like, what's essential? I mean, it's like I need to have, you know, olive oil. I mean, I think it's whatever you make the most of. I mean, I feel like something like quinoa you can use for so many things. You could eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really on a budget and you really wanted to eat something healthy and versatile, I think it's one of those things that will really, really take you places. Like, and canned organic beans are another amazing convenience food that are fast, and there's so many good quality beans now, ones that, you know, don't have that lining inside, you know, that really, you know, that taste good too. So it's think about foods that are convenient, think about foods that you like to eat. You know, definitely avoid something if you think like, oh, it's healthy, I should be eating it, but you know you're not going to make. But if you feel like I love pasta, you know, stop off on, you know, whole grain pastas. Like, there's so many great ones out now.
Well, there's a number of students that want to eat well, and they're kind of overwhelmed with a new environment, being away from home and living on their own. But there's a handful of them, maybe not a lot, that want to eat healthy. And it's a challenge for them in their spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely if you have a roommate, see if you can team up on getting into something healthy. You know, whoever you live with. And in that case, you know, might be like one roommate, two roommates, four roommates. I've been there where, you know, you decide, hey, we really want to try to, you know, eliminate, you know, white rice or, you know, something like that. And we want to switch to something healthier. Then you can, like, team up and buy foods in bulk, too.
Right. Okay. What do you see, Betsy, as do you have an idea for what the the set and the opening? What's the feeling going to be like? Is it going to be a traditional Food Network style show, or you have something else in mind?
Hopefully not. It's going to be in everybody's kitchen, so it's going to be a little more organic and a lot of fun. I think it's not going to be a standard Food Network sort of set.
Right.
So
okay. I see. So you're. Is it likely you're going to move around to each of these different chef's homes?
Yes. Yeah, we're shooting this in New York, California, and Maine, where Tony and I are both located.
Mm.
So I think it's going to give it a lot of dynamic range to shoot it this way. Yeah.
Right.
So and probably do some, hopefully do some segments outside of the kitchen as well.
Okay.
So plus we're going to have guests. We're going to go to the guests that we have on. We're going to their kitchen, so we're going to see how they cook. So.
Yeah, people really like to see other people's kitchen.
Yeah,
they really do, and they look forward to that sort of thing.
So we're really excited about it. And in terms of cooking, people. What to have in the kitchen, I find sort of making enough so that there's leftovers. So if you're cooking a meal, there's at least lunch tomorrow, or if not a big pot of soup, there's something for several days.
Yeah, absolutely. In the wintertime, soup keeps us going for many, many days, and it's fun because it starts out usually as one soup, and in two or three days it's morphed into something completely different, and then if there's a little leftover, it's a sauce. It just keeps on giving.
Well, and it solves that problem of needing something quick. A lot of people reach for food that's bad for them because they don't have anything on hand. So you can provide your own fast food by making sure that you do have leftovers.
I like having a lot of fresh produce. Like, half our refrigerator is full of produce, and we're really into kale lately. And my partner, Kate, is really the cook in the house, and she buzzes up the kale like a tabbouleh, and it's in a salad. It's just amazing. It's quite delicious.
Let's just say an amen to kale. Kale is
yes.
superfood. I believe it saved my life. I love kale. there's so many things we should be doing with it. And what a great vegetable, because it's around in the wintertime.
Yep.
Yeah, and very healthy.
You can eat it raw, cooked. It has a lot of...
Absolutely. Super-duper kale.
So
I was talking a little bit before about how we've all kind of evolved over the decades with vegan cuisine. Tony, do you have any recent new favorite ingredients that you've been working with?
Recent new? No, I don't. I really do things pretty seasonally because I grew up in Italy, and that's pretty much the way we ate. So.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything that I've really discovered. I don't go for a lot of the processed foods,
right?
A lot of the real convenient foods. So I can't tell you I've discovered this great faux meat.
Yeah,
I do use some of it, but no. I say what I have been doing lately, and I learned that when I went down and did a cooking project, is using less oil. I've learned to really cut back a lot on the addition. I still use olive oil in food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go oil free. But I really learned that when I needed a quarter of a cup or half a cup, I could really do it with a couple of tablespoons, and it worked out just fine.
Absolutely.
So I've really been doing more with cutting back on fats and salt, because those were the two probably my most vulnerable spots when I was cooking.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy to make anything taste good if you just pour a ton of olive oil on it.
Yes, and then throw that salt on top. Yeah. It's true.
Terry, do you have any new ingredients that you're working with that you've discovered? I know you're working on an international cookbook. Any interesting ingredients out there to discover?
Well, I mean, they're not always healthy. I get really excited about are Thai soy sauces.
Mm-hmm.
They taste very different from like your standard Chinese soy sauce, and they really make your food taste like Thai food, without doing anything really crazy. I mean, in regards to, healthy-ish things, I find that I just like to increase more vegetables and things.
Mm-hmm.
If a pasta dish is maybe the ratio is one-to-one with pasta and vegetables, like doubling up the vegetables and maybe cutting back on the pasta a little bit if you want to lighten things up is an easy way just to, you know, still have everything you like, but just get more of the healthy stuff and maybe cut back on the things that, you know, you can, you know, ease up on a little bit.
Right. I've been working more, well, maybe not with new ingredients, but kind of finding new things to do with old ingredients. And when I'm working on reducing oil in my life, it's like the confessions, I'm trying to reduce oil in my life. I use more raw nuts and seeds in lots of different ways, soaking them and making creams out of them and then using them as a fat instead of oil. And really interesting flavors come out of it, and I feel better because I'm using a whole food rather than oil, which is processed.
Mm. Yeah, and you're using foods that we extract oil from. You're just skipping that part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Betsy, what can people do if they want to support Vegan Mashup?
They can head on over to Indiegogo and make a contribution to Vegan Mashup. We'll have all kinds of rewards on that page. Or head to deliciousTV.com to find out more about it. And if there's a business or a nonprofit out there that wants to get their name out there associated with the show, they can write to info@deliciousTV.com and let us know. We'd be happy to talk to them.
Okay, great. And any other websites you want to promote out there before we go?
Sure. MiyokosKitchen.com and Terry's website is
VeganLatina.com.
VeganLatina.com, yes.
Okay, terrific. Thank you very much for everything and for all those great, delicious recipes. And I look forward to even more. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. And, you know, we were just talking about kale for a moment. I want to remind you at my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, there's a green food show where I use kale for juicing, for salads, for steaming, and for smoothies. Check it out. And we'll be right back with Johanna McCloy of Soy Happy.